This is Central Time. I'm Gene Purcell.
And I'm Rob Ferret. It's time now for Food Friday. This week, we've got a special treat for you.
We tasked our own Lori Skelton with a huge food experiment. We asked her to incorporate a mystery ingredient into some desserts.
Lori joins us to share her experiences and advice. She's one of WPR's in-house foodies and a classical music host. Lori, welcome back to Central Time.
It is a great pleasure to be here.
Well, you've been making desserts for the WPR staff for a few weeks. Now, we knew here on Central Time what the secret ingredient was, but it was a mystery to everyone else. Tell us about your mystery ingredient.
What we were using in brownies and cheesecake and cake frosting and sauce for ice cream was miso.
Miso. Now, I only discovered miso a little while back in my life. Give us miso 101. What is it?
This is a Japanese condiment, for want of a better word. You combine soybeans and grain, usually rice, but sometimes something like a barley or a millet, sea salt, and you let this ferment. You let it sit in a barrel, talk to itself for a little while. What you end up with is a very powerful, salty, umami paste. In Japan, it's used for sauces, for dipping vegetables in. It's very, very good for marinating fish. I don't know if you've ever had a miso marinated cod.
I have not.
But it shows up in restaurants more and more around the country. There's one restaurant here in Madison. It's one of their signature dishes, and I just love it.
So the miso we get, that we don't have to ferment our own. We can go buy. I've bought this. It's, you just buy a bucket of glop.
It looks exactly like that, a bucket or a bag of glop. Miso comes in varying strengths, and it's usually referred to by the color. The palest is called a white miso. Get a little bit stronger, yellow or brown. The strongest, which is going to taste almost beefy, is referred to as a red miso. As you get stronger, you're also getting saltier. I started using miso a little over a year ago when it was suggested that it be used as part of a vinaigrette for a particular vegetable salad.
Hmm.
And it's now become my go-to salad dressing, ginger and miso and a little bit of oil and vinegar, and it's amazing.
You've said a lot of foods that miso could be used in, but what you're trying here is miso in dessert. Where'd that come from?
I was given an article that was published in the Wall Street Journal a few months ago. And the idea here is, if you've ever played with salted caramel in desserts, a lot of people are really enjoying the idea of sweet is more than just sweet. There are levels of flavor to it. You can add salt. You can add umami to chocolate or to things with cream. Sometimes, for instance, raspberries with balsamic vinegar. Sometimes you want a more savory element with fruit. And this particular article in the Wall Street Journal was saying, go miso on all of this. I must admit, as much as I love umami flavors, I was a little bit skeptical. So I thought this would be a great thing to try out with all of the different people at Wisconsin Public Radio, get a lot of different tastes involved, and see if this really does work.
So you put on your mad scientist coat, went into the Lori Skelton laboratory, and the first thing that emerged were the brownies. I've been able to taste all of these as you've done them. So the brownies, I'll say, I think were my second favorite of the bunch. I thought it worked well. Tell us about the miso in the brownies.
Well, here you had some leeway with the brownie recipe. Most of the recipes that I was looking at said use the mildest miso possible. The brownies, we were talking bittersweet chocolate and a lot of it, and it was suggested that you could go a little bit stronger miso. In retrospect, I think that was the wrong way to go. Most people found the umami brownies pleasant. Some people said tangy, and while it was a good flavor, I thought, it definitely took the gooey, gooey sweetness out of the mix. But some people really, really miss that. I don't know as I would use this particular brownie recipe as my go-to recipe for a brownie. But where I would love to try it is if I knew I was making a pan of brownies to use as the base for a brownie sundae.
Oh,
there,
yeah.
you've got this lovely, complex flavor, not too sweet, even though the chocolate is still there. And these brownies baked up more of a cake rather than something a little gooier. So this would be a great base to soak up ice cream and sauces and whatever you want to throw on top.
Okay, experiment number two, a box chocolate cake, and then the buttercream frosting had miso in it, right?
Right. Here I thought, okay, if miso is an element in your desserts, sometimes you just don't have time to do things from scratch, but you want a basic box cake to taste a little bit better than a basic box cake. And here I found a good basic buttercream frosting. I tried it two different ways. The first time it was just butter and sugar and miso, and that came out a little too thin, I thought, for a cake. I did, however, try that sweeter miso butter on muffins the next day straight out of the oven. Oh, heavens, that was tasty.
Okay, I didn't get to try that one,
well,
but that's okay.
Let's put it this way. I ate the whole
batch. It didn't survive.
It didn't make it out of my kitchen. It was really, really good. So thicker buttercream, one that you'd actually add eggs to and a few other ingredients. This one held up pretty well with the miso. The texture came out a little grainy, so you're probably going to have to play with how long you actually beat it in your mixer. But this was one that people thought, okay, I'm still getting this tangy, I'm still getting this kind of an aftertaste that I'm not quite sure I like, but it definitely took the bitterness out of that box cake. It definitely made the box cake taste better.
That's the one where it was what I expected. I thought if you add miso to a dessert, it's going to taste salty. I thought the frosting tasted kind of salty. It wasn't quite, I don't know, it was weird to have salty frosting.
Well, the one thing that we don't quite know how to work with on a Western palate is this is fermented. I've gotten to love making kimchi, but that's a fermented condiment that I'm still learning how to use. And I think we've got the same element here. Because this is a fermented food, there are going to be flavors that we're just not used to. And I definitely was picking that up as I was working through these recipes.
Well, now we're all used to sauerkraut on our brats. We get our fermentation
yes,
in there a little bit.
But when was the last time you put sauerkraut in a red velvet cake?
Well, funny story. Okay, never. Okay, and now we're moving back up on my ranking list to the last couple. A cheesecake, raspberry puree, I think it was. And then where did the miso go into that one?
Miso went right into the body of the cheesecake, along with all of the cream cheese and the sugar. Now, cheesecake is wonderful, but it can be a little bit heavy. And in using raspberry puree mixed all the way through the batter, you would have had the sweet element, but it still would have been heavy. By adding the miso, you lightened the cream cheese mixture so that the texture in your mouth was not leaden, but the flavor complexity was really starting to build with that. Again, you're working off some of the sugar versus the salt. Mm-hmm. You've got the fruit in it, which, you know, you don't normally think of salting raspberries, but it really was pleasant. It made the raspberries taste brighter. And again, normally for something like that, you'd be adding more sugar. This cheesecake had less than a cup of sugar in it. I was really impressed.
Okay. And what was the response? I mean, you heard my response. I liked it.
Most people, again, not everybody was thrilled with this. The word tangy kept coming up. Everybody was asking.
I don't see that.
When I hadn't revealed the secret ingredient, people were thinking sour cream, goat cheese. Did you use vinegar? Somebody asked me.
What?
Again, this, I'm not going to make this my go-to recipe for a cheesecake, but if I know that I'm going to be making a cheesecake, say that's going to be part of a dessert buffet where there's going to be lots of different sweet things, the idea that this is lighter in texture but still delivers a great amount of flavor would make this an option.
And now the winner, my favorite, you just brought in, and this is the easiest one to make, it sounds like, a butterscotch sauce with miso in it. We just put that on some ice cream. You cut up some bananas for us. Tell us about the butterscotch sauce.
A good caramel has again, those complex layers of flavor. But making caramel at home can be a little bit daunting. This gave you all of the complex flavors that caramel has, but this was so easy. You whisk a little cream and butter in a saucepan until everything melts, throw in some miso and a little brown sugar, whisk it for 10 minutes, and you've got something that would just make anything, again, ice cream, bananas. Somebody wants me to try it on cherries. It just sang. It was so lovely.
And we're posting this one over at the Central Time Facebook page. It's easy to make at home.
So it came together in less than 20 minutes, and you've got something, again, the salt, here the tangy was taken out of it, but you've still got that salt, you've still got that umami. It's exciting to eat it.
And did everyone else like it as much as I did?
Absolutely. This was the clear winner. Nobody had anything bad to say about this.
So were people's jaws dropping on any of these when you told them when they found out it had been miso all along?
Everybody was stunned, especially people who don't normally think of anything Japanese moving onto an American table. It was a really great mix in a lot of different ways.
So any lessons learned here that you want to experiment with in the future or apply to future desserts?
If you are going to be using miso in desserts, definitely stick with what is called shiro miso or white miso.
That's the mellower one.
This is the mildest one there is. And go slowly. You can always add more. Mm-hmm. But this is a flavor that if you add too much, you're not going to be able to dial it back. So if you've got a recipe or you've got a suggestion, I would say start with maybe 3/4 of what the recipe calls for. And then if you want a little bit more, bump it up.
And do you dissolve the miso in water first and then pour it into a batter?
No.
Just take the glop and stir it in?
Glop it right in.
All right. So you give the thumbs up overall. Miso in dessert, it has a place.
It's definitely an element to play with. Again, I wouldn't call it the go-to, but if you want to change things up in the kitchen, this would be a great place to start.
And that's a great place to leave it. Lori, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Lori Skelton, one of WPR's in-house foodies. You can find her recipe for miso butterscotch sauce on the Central Time Facebook page. And while you're checking it out, maybe suggest a new mystery, surprise ingredient that she can try out. Gene, anything you want to see make its way into an unexpected place in the food world?
No, I'm going to say I'm very open to almost anything because the weeks when Lori is working on these experiments around Wisconsin Public Radio, it's a great place to be.
Yeah, we get to be the lab, the testers.
Yeah, we're the lab, so suggest away. Post some suggestions on the Central Time Facebook page, and we will be happy to be the in-house testers for you.
And Gene, with all the cooking you do, you're gonna start putting miso in virtually everything you cook, right? And statistically, I'm right.
A glop. I'm going to be putting glop in everything I cook.
In the zero things you cook, all will have miso.
I'm Gene Purcell.
And I'm Rob Ferrett. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network.